Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Listen up, San Diego.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
It's the end of the workday, but Gwen and Chris is just getting started. New year, same Gwen and Chris.
Well, you don't need a shrink to tell you that this guy's a raving psycho.
With Tony Quinn Jr.
The fact that we are, hidey-tidy.
Hoity-toity.
Hoity-toity.
And Chris Ello.
Fans, and more fans. I love to just be surrounded by fans.
Gwen and Chris help you get home from work. Now on 97.3 The Fan.
Ello. Chris Ello. Welcome back to the program. We seem to have some arguments going on as to who was the first actor to play James Bond. I will clear that up for you in just a second. But this hour brought to you by Indeed. And when you are hiring, you do not want to waste time. You want an efficient way to get your short list of qualified candidates. That's why you need Indeed.com. It's used by over 3 million businesses. Post a job in minutes, set up screener questions, then zero in on qualified candidates using an intuitive online dashboard. That's Indeed.com. You can try it for free if you're a new user at Indeed.com/radio. Terms and conditions, quality standards apply. All right. I said in the last segment during our trivia, and we're going to continue with our trivia, that Sean Connery was the first actor to play James Bond in the movies, and Scraby, that was his question. So I was actually agreeing with you, Scraby,
for once,
that you were correct for a change.
Yes.
The very first James Bond movie brought to the silver screen was called Dr. No. It came in 1962, and in that movie, James Bond was played by Sean Connery. But if you want to get technical, there was an hour-long TV special broadcast in 1954. All right, I don't want to get technical either. But there was some other guy named Barry Nelson who played the role of the James Bond character in this one-hour-long TV show. So that's why I'm saying if you want to get really technical, but if you don't and you shouldn't, Sean Connery is the original James Bond.
He's the best one.
He is and always will be.
Yeah.
There you go. All right.
I agree. So can we hop back to the game now?
Yes, we can.
All right. Let's get back to Chris versus the Fan. Corey out in La Mesa. Welcome to Gwen and Chris, man. How you doing?
Going good. Happy Friday Junior again.
Happy Friday
hey,
Junior
Corey,
again.
Yeah, I like that.
All right, here we go. First question. What is the name of the TV show with this theme song?
Just sit right back and you'll hear a tale, of faithful trip that started from this tropic
boy
aboard this tiny ship.
Corey, your answer.
Oh, Lord. I'm too young for this.
Too young for that one, huh, Corey?
You may be too young for this.
Yeah. No idea.
No idea.
Was a mighty sailor man, a skipper brave and sure. Five passengers set sail that day on a three-hour tour. A three-hour tour.
Gilligan's Island.
Yeah, Gilligan. I didn't even have to say it.
Oh, yeah, you gave Chris the answer.
Thank you, Tony.
I'm sorry.
It was Gilligan's
Island.
It was
clear
Island.
Everybody
I probably watched every Gilligan's Island episode out there.
Now, I don't know if I can say I've watched every Gilligan's Island, but I've seen quite a few.
I've seen a lot of them. Isn't that hilarious, though, that theme song was probably 50 years old, and we could come up with it like that.
Bam.
Sorry,
right,
Corey.
Next contestant is Bill out in Dana Point. Welcome to the show, Bill.
Hey, Bill.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys.
No problem. Here we go. First question. Which Stephen King novel takes place mostly in the fictional Overlook Hotel?
Do I have to get technical on this one? I have no idea.
He has no idea.
Why is Chris looking at me?
I'd like to know when you're going to get a sports question on the program again.
When I get back on
Monday.
I know
that you're mixing some of these other ones in here. The movie was called The Shining, or the book was called The Shining.
Very nice work there.
I can't stand this.
Jack Nicholson was all-time classic in that. And it was filmed at a hotel in Colorado, by the way, called...
The Overlook.
No. It wasn't called The Overlook, but it was the outdoor sequences were somewhere in Colorado Springs, and I can't remember the name of it now. The Broadmoor.
Oh, yeah. I've heard of that place. Yeah.
All right, here we go. Next contestant, Sean out in Lakeside. Welcome to Gwen and Chris.
Information you really didn't need to know.
How's your Thursday?
Good. How about yours?
Hey, Sean.
Good
luck.
All right, here we go. First question. When is the Padres' first spring training game this year?
Aha, a sports question of some sort.
Unfortunately.
Saturday.
That
Saturday,
is correct.
He says.
All right, on to question number two.
Past question one.
What is a quote unquote scratch golfer?
Can you repeat the question, please?
What is a scratch golfer?
Scratch golfer?
Yes.
Tick, 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 tick.
Somebody who
When you run out of balls?
When you run out of balls. That is incorrect.
Or perhaps if you never had any.
Hey-o.
Scratch golfer, somebody with a zero handicap.
That is correct.
Scraby's so mad when I get a golf question. He thinks, because Scraby thinks he's the only person on earth
that knows golf.
Any golf information.
No, I'm just mad that you got it right. Oh, wow, he hung up already.
All right, Luke in Point Loma, welcome to Gwen and Chris. Happy Thursday.
Hey, Luke.
Happy Almost Friday.
Happy Almost
you got
Friday.
It, man. It's or Friday, Friday somewhere.
Junior. Friday,
it's Friday
junior.
Somewhere.
Here we go. First question. What video game features Lara Croft?
Tomb Raider.
Tomb Raider's correct. Nice work.
God, you just...
Luke knows what we're talking about with Tomb Raider.
Does Angelina Jolie just pop into every single person's mind right
you
there?
Say Lara Croft? Probably.
She made the movies terrible.
Here we go.
Never mind.
Question number two. What NBA star was featured in an ad campaign with a miniature doll who talked to him? We have audio.
So who you guys playing tonight anyway?
Minnesota.
Oh, Los Lobos. I guess you're going for the big numbers tonight, huh? Now I want you to work from inside, work from outside. I'm sensing triple double hit.
Your answer, Luke.
The Penny Hardaway.
Very good. Hardaway.
Here we go.
What was the doll? Little Penny?
Little Penny.
Little Penny. Yeah,
Little
that
Penny.
Was funny.
All right, here we go. Last question for those Seals tickets.
For the win.
What video game is this theme song from?
Hang on.
Luke, your answer?
What do you got, Luke?
For the win, Zelda.
Hey! He got it!
Would you have gotten that, Chris?
The Legend of Zelda. I recognize it because my dad used to play this game.
I had
like
no
it
chance.
Mine too, mine too.
Nice right, work, Luke. Hang on the line. We'll get you those tickets.
Luke, I appreciate you, man, because I would have missed that one embarrassingly.
I played it out in my head with Tony earlier. I was like, I think Chris is going to be like, I don't know any games.
You know,
Zelda!
That song kind of sounds like the portion of Mike Tyson's Punch-Out when they're riding on the bike. A little bit in the.
Oh my God. It really does. I can never unhear that now. It's kind of like Eye of the Tiger a little bit.
Oh, man.
All right. Well, I'm excited for the day that Chris versus the Fans returns to a sports trivia contest, but that's okay, Scraby. I see you. I see you over there. You got to take a little break from the sports once in a while. Luke came through, though. Nicely done.
You're doing okay with everything else. I mean. You're proving that you're a man of many facts.
I know. I just want to. I think the callers kind of would like a little more sports trivia. I think it's fun to mix in one once in a while.
If you like the game category. Having potpourri, tweet me at Matt Scraby and let me know.
Because
if you like the game being potpourri rather than sports.
Well, no. I mean, yeah, potpourri with sports.
I think it should be sports.
I'm running
with
out of
some potpourri mixed in.
I'm literally running out of questions.
Yeah, you know what? The next time you ask me to make a pop quiz, I'm going to answer the same thing to you.
What is that?
I'm running out of pop quizzes.
But what are you going to do then? Once a week. We've done it every day for like the last year plus.
Oh.
Good point.
Buy another book, will you?
But
I'll tell you one thing. Buy one that has the correct answers.
That would help. That would definitely help.
You're saying I shouldn't believe what I read on the internet?
We've been telling you that for 2 years now.
All right. We're going to take a quick break there. Good work by Luke. He takes down Chris versus the fans today. We'll have another edition for you on the program tomorrow. When we come back, though, the National Football League wants to change everything. They want to change the season. They want to change the playoff format. Will they get the Players Association to agree? We will discuss whether or not the Players Association should or will agree when we come back. I'm Chris Ello. That's Tony Gwynn Jr. It's Gwynn and Chris. Lots more still ahead as we roll towards 7 o'clock on San Diego's number one sports talk station. This is 97.3 The Fan, and this is a check of traffic in September with Sue D.
You'll see teams incentivized, especially to get that number one seed. Yep. Instead of having the opportunity to sit players down and try to figure out, you know, who can we rest up until this point, it's only one of those spots. And it is a clear advantage to be number one and not the second place team to play the seventh ranked team.
That right there is in reference to there no longer, possibly no longer being a number two seed that gets a bye into the playoffs. 4:28 o'clock, Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Eller. We're talking NFL. The owners have approved the new collective bargaining agreement. Now, this will now slide over to the player side, and they have, if I read this correctly, they have not very much time to figure out if they want to do this.
I'm going to tell you what I believe their answer is going to be.
What do you think their answer is going to be?
Well, first of all, let's remind everybody what's being proposed.
So the NFL owners on Thursday accepted the negotiated terms between both sides of a new proposed collective bargaining agreement, sending the vote to the players ahead of a potential agreement between the sides. All 32 owners met Thursday in New York City for an update. They only needed 3/4 of it. It did not unanimously pass, but it had enough support. Now, to remind folks of what exactly is happening in this season, sources previously told ESPN that the proposed CBA would allow the league to expand the regular season from 16 games to 17 games at some point in the next 4 years, although no sooner than 2021, according to this ESPN article.
Okay.
They will be adding another playoff team. Best team in the conference gets a bye.
Number two seed no longer gets a
bye. Number two seed no longer gets a bye.
Right.
And that's what you heard Marcus Spears, ESPN NFL football analyst, talking about, is that it's going to incentivize teams to get to that number one seed because there's no more resting guys now.
No.
For that second team.
All right, here's what I think the players are going to come back with. I think the players are going to come back with being just fine with the extra playoff team because that gives more guys a shot to go into the postseason and potentially make a little more money on the side playing in postseason games. And I know for a fact the fans are going to love this. I mean, a seventh team, a third wild card game in each conference every year. That's two more wild card games on wild card weekend. And I think it's fantastic. But I don't think any of the players are going to go for the 17th game.
I don't either.
I don't think any of them are going to go for the 17th game. Now, we talked about this yesterday, and actually, was it the former Charger doctor? Dr. Chow called in and said, "Hey, Chris, here's the story," and I'll tell you what he's referring to. Yesterday, I said I didn't like the idea of a 17th game because I don't think it's fair that some teams get 9 home games and other teams only get 8 home games. I think that's a tremendous advantage in the small schedule size of the National Football League. Dr. Chow called in. Thank you, Dr.
Text
Chow.
Text me, yeah.
And texted and said, well, the plan is for that 17th game, everybody would have one international game per year. So that takes care of the home and away thing. But it doesn't take care of the fact that these guys aren't going to be making more money to play a 17th game.
Let me explain. It says, in addition, players with existing contracts that stretch into a 17-game season would have their deals amended to account for it. A source close to negotiating said each player in such situation would receive a raise that would, with one game check, based on the negotiated per-game rate, but the amount would not exceed $250,000.
All right. Well, even if the money is – even if for some reason they're able to meet the player's demand, whatever it is, for the money for a 17th game – I think the fact that it is such a physical grind to get through a 16-game season already with one bye and add a 17th game, I just don't think the players are going to go for it. I just don't. I honestly don't know that I would if I was them either. If I'm a fan, right? Yes, I want a 17th Absolutely. Game. I want an 18th game. As a matter of fact, why not just do away with the preseason altogether and play 20 games? Because college football doesn't seem to need a preseason game. Why does the National Football League need a preseason game? I'll tell you why. Because the owners make free money. They don't have to pay the players during those games, and they fill up their stadiums, so they get free money, and that's why the preseason exists in the National Football League. As a fan, I'd love to see a 17th game, but I think it's going to be a long while before the Players Association comes to an agreement on something that will extend the season.
I completely agree. The league desires... the league's desire to expand the regular season has been met, as you said, with harsh opposition from many players who view an expanded season as an unnecessary increase in risk of players' health
Another
and
safety.
Another
chance to get injured, absolutely.
However, the union leaders, and this is the players at the top and the executives who are running it, have touted to players the benefits of the proposed new deal, which include a higher percentage of league revenue going to players. I think I read somewhere 46% to 48%.
Right.
Improvement in the drug policy and discipline policy. Okay. Higher minimum salaries. Higher per team spending floor and relaxed off-season workouts. All that's great. You know, one thing I didn't hear in that was anything about health care.
No, and I didn't hear anything about an added game making it less of a chance for you to get hurt.
Injured, right.
It's just not...
It's a risk.
It's just not probable. I don't think the players are going to go for it. 16 games is hard enough. And I think for any of us that would love to see 18 games, 20 games, go out there and play, sit a couple of games out, do what you got to do, as a fan, I see your point. As a fan, I want 50 football games. Let's just not have an off season. Let's just play every Sunday all 50, you know, 50 of the 52 weeks during the year, have a week off, play the Super Bowl, and start the next season over again. I mean, that's how much I love the NFL, but these guys aren't going to make it. They're just not going to make it, Tony. Either that. Now, one thing that they could do, I'm trying to think now of the other side.
And this is still including Thursday night games, too, by the way.
You still got to do your Thursday night game. And it's now including an international game.
Right.
Right?
Right.
So every team has to play one international game, which is brutally difficult travel-wise on everybody. But here's what I would come back with now if I were the owner's side. Let's assume the players say, no, 17's too many, too much risk of injury, too much this, that, the other, et cetera. All right. So what do I have to think of if I'm on the side of the ownership, or, you know, on that side of it, in order to counter that discussion and that argument? And what I would come up with would be something that allows for, I don't know, maybe every player to have a week off during the course of the regular season, or I would allow for a longer season that has two buys or three buys, even, so that you play 17 games, but you're going to play it over a 20-week period. That would be my answer to the players who say the risk of injury is too great. Because you know what? If you're a fan, I'm a fan, I wouldn't care if a team is off two or three times during the course of the year. The fact of the matter is there's going to be games every Sunday for 20 weeks.
I'm going to get my fix.
I'm good, man. My red zone channel is going to be on. So I'm happy. Now,
yeah.
And you know, if I'm so what? The Dolphins, you know, every year they have one bye, and I always miss them that week. I will, you know, right? I can miss them for 3 weeks. It's okay. So that would be my comeback if I was the clubs. I'd say, look, if you're worried about the injury, if you're worried about the too much, the extra game, then we'll just play it over a longer stretch of time. So we'll see where this all goes. I think it's going to be a lot of negotiating back and forth for a long, long while before anything ever gets settled.
I know they've been negotiating, but it feels rushed on one side. Like it feels like the owners are really trying to
railroad
ram this down their throat
bit, yeah.
and put the pressure on them. But it's been met, it seems like, with a lot of open arms, as you would expect from former players. Here's Desmond Howard talking about the importance of the games because of the playoffs format.
You're going to tell me that they're going to add another team and not another game? I think that's brilliant. I mean, why do you think college fought to have a playoff so hard? Because playoff football is amazing. It's going to be more intriguing. Now these games, especially later in the season, they're going to be even more important.
And they are. That number one seed, as we said, is going to be very important. And
can you just add the playoff team without having to add a game to the regular season? Why not?
I don't see any reason
why you can't do that.
Well, you're not getting any more money, though. that's what the owners want. They want that extra game.
Well, there's going to be an extra teams in the playoffs, so there'd be a little extra money to go around.
Yeah.
But the owners are not hurting for money. This is what I find to be comical, and this is what the players find to be comical, is that they're trying to railroad another game down the players' throats so that they, the owners, can make more money. The owners in the National Football League already, all 32 of them, have a license to print money. They don't need any more.
Yeah.
So that's why the players are going to say, why should we put ourselves in harm's way so that you can make more money? We better get a whole lot of it. And if that's the case, then I think the ownership's got to come back and say, all right, we'll try to spread the 17 games over 19, 20 weeks. That's the only way I think you could get it done.
I totally agree. All right, before we go to break, coming up in just a bit, we will call out our biggest fan, and they will have 10 minutes to call back and to be entered into our grand prize drawing, to win one of two Las Vegas trips to see Shania Twain at Planet Hollywood Resort Casino, along with a two-night stay and dinner at Cafe Hollywood. If for some reason the biggest fan doesn't call in, no worries. You can replace them by calling in their place. Make sure you sign up at 973thefansd.com/biggestfan to enter, and make sure you listen to your name in the 7 a.m., 1 p.m., and 4 p.m. hours on The Fan. All right. We're going to step away, take a break. When we come back, we have a big five. Chris, you got your hand up?
No, I'm just saying five,
big
baby.
Five,
give
yeah.
me five. Big five. Let's go.
Big five.
I'm ready.
Around the corner.
Just especially fired up for today's big five.
Gwen and Chris.
Take Scraby down hard.
Wow. San Diego's number one sports station. 97.3. The Fan.
Coming up later on the program, Jay Billis was on with the morning show. Ben and Woods, hear what he had to say about the West Coast bias and how it may affect the San Diego State Aztec basketball team going forward into this year's NCAA tournament. That is still to come. Also, you'll hear some of the coach John Quintero's interview with new Padre reliever Emilio Pagan. All of that is still ahead. Right now, though, we check a little traffic with Sue D.
Guys, we've got a lot of bumper-to-bumper traffic coming out of downtown. There's a crash East 94 west of 28th Street. It was caused by a tow truck driver that swerved, and no denying it, since an off-duty police officer just happened to be in traffic there, too, and saw the whole thing. Got stop-and-go ride out of downtown through that S-curve. Then it breaks into Chula Vista. There's an injured motorcyclist in an accident north of Imperial. Another wreck in National City at Main Division. And North 15 just inching out of RB through ESCO. The backup starting as you approach Twin Peaks. Sue DeVincent with Gwen and Chris. San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Sue D is not lying there. We are San Diego's number one sports station, and I did want to take a second. I am not one to toot our own horn, Tony Gwynn Jr., but what I do want to do is thank all of the listeners out there today, because the ratings came out yesterday, and we are the number one afternoon show, talk radio show in San Diego.
Are we?
we can't talk, but we just are the number one show. Yes.
That was so perfect us.
We can't speak very well, but we are. So, and that is not, look, it's due to a lot of hard work by a lot of people that you, most of you don't even get a chance to listen to, and the Adams and the Riches and the Karen Cerulis and everybody at the Intercom Empire.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
So we want to thank everybody for all their help and assistance, but mostly want to thank all of you fans and listeners out there for coming back to the show every afternoon and making us a part of your drive home or your afternoon at work, whatever the case may be. We have so much fun doing the show, and hopefully, Tony, we just get to keep on doing it for a long, long, long time. And thanks again to everybody out there for helping us reach that spot right now. So I wanted to get that in before we get to the Big Five.
It's now time to expand our horizons, step outside the box.
Who the hell are you guys?
And turn this show upside down.
No. Whatever it is, no.
Quinn and Chris will now talk about the best of the rest in the one, the only, the extraordinary. The Big Five, which starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
I absolutely love it that I have everybody in the studio doing the violin now when this happens. And I hope if you're not driving, you should do the violin too. I was going to say in your cars, but I shouldn't say
Please
that.
Please don't take your hands off the wheel to do the violin.
Yes. This hour is sponsored by Nature Valley Sweet and Salty Bars. If you love Nature Valley Sweet and Salty Bars, you'll love the new Sweet and Salty Minis. It's all of the indulgent, savory goodness you know now in a smaller size and at 100 calories. Snacking has never been so sweet. I love those bars, actually. If you have any Big Five topics, find me on Twitter at Matt Scraby. You can find Tony at Tony Good Jr., Chris at ChrisLOSD, Thomas at OddThomas71. And with no further ado, let's go
number five.
Now, Coach K, he's had kind of a weird year. He's been in the news for not winning a lot. He's been in the news for some other things that are off the court or right directly after the game. But North Carolina State coach Kevin Keats led his team to an impressive win and then offered Duke's Hall of Fame coach Mike Krzyzewski some post-game safety advice. Video shows the two coaches having a quick handshake as the final seconds of the Wolfpack's 88-66 hammering of the number 6 Blue Devils came to an end. It also appeared to some that Coach K kept walking and ignored Keats as he tried to talk to him in the handshake line. Here is a reporter asking Coach K about the exchange after the game.
It looked like Kevin was trying to point out something during the handshake line. What happened there?
He was just saying that they were going to storm the court, just to be careful. No, he was. They were good. Yeah, they were great. They were all great. I wish we had come to the dance a little bit better.
So you heard him right there. He said the coach told him to be careful because they're storming the court. Is that your court? Is that the most humble brag you've ever heard? Hey, Coach K, they're going to storm the court.
I'm sure it didn't go. I'm sure it didn't go like that. I'm sure it probably was something along.
I think he's trying to rule just to make him aware of it.
Yeah.
But I'm pretty sure Coach K is used to it. Every time Duke loses a game on the road, they storm the court. 100%. So,
well,
it's happened to them many times.
Because of course, everything is talked about now. Most of the sports stories are things said pre or post game. Tony, are we concerned with the wrong things as sports fans? Because this was one of the biggest stories on my list of news stories this morning.
I can't even be mad at sports fans. They're not the ones responsible for asking the question. Coach K only answered a question that a reporter...
Somebody had to ask.
...wanted to ask, and he thought it was a TMZ moment, and it turns out it was a safety issue. So, you know, I'm not going to blame fans for that. Listen, fans consume what we put out, and a lot of that is driven by them. But in this particular case, I don't know that this was driven by the fans at all.
Chris, what do you think?
Yeah, I'm going to blame the media for this one. Yeah.
Really?
I don't normally blame the media because, as Tony said, normally the media gives the fans kind of what they want. So we're just representing you out there. So right. A lot of our dumb questions are because you like dumb information. But in this case, first of all, we talked about this yesterday about Roy Williams at North Carolina.
Yes.
Mike Krzyzewski is a terrible loser. Terrible. And as I've said before... He should be.
Yes.
You show me a good loser, I'll show you a loser. So Mike Krzyzewski is not a big fan of the handshake after he loses. And you'll see him after he wins. He'll always have some kind things to say to the poor losing coach.
He's
hey,
a much
good
better
effort.
Winner than he is
Your
a loser.
Club is looking sharp and you guys really played a hard game.
We got
and
lucky
whole
today.
Deal, we lucked out.
He's doing some good work with that program.
Exactly. But when Krzyzewski loses, he goes right through the line. He doesn't mess around. And
no small talk.
That's okay with me. Yeah. I don't have a problem with it. It's one of the reasons he doesn't lose very often. But that question is really, like Tony said, it's a TMZ question, hoping to get a soundbite from Coach K. And I'm glad Coach K kind of put the guy in his place.
I have a theory behind why these things are becoming bigger news stories. And it's because all the people that are kids and in high school who have made this kind of popular... They're becoming the reporters now, and they're the ones that are asking the questions.
I mean, I'm not one for being able to tell voices, but that didn't sound like a young man's
voice.
That
sounded like a my generation voice trying to sound hip and try to get coach. Look, we work for somebody at the Intercom Empire, not naming names, who would love it if we would say something on the radio that would go viral and go national.
1,000%.
Oh, I know who you're talking about. It took me forever. Now I know.
So understand.
Thomas?
Yeah, Thomas. Stop desiring
doing that
so much.
Caught me red-handed.
Caught me red-handed. But nah, I mean, I think a lot of people go to these press conferences hoping their question will get played on SportsCenter later that night. I mean, and that's just the wrong reason to be there.
All right.
But I mean, when you used to cover Lakers, what was the objective when you went into a press conference? And that was a really good team.
It was a complete opposite. When I went into a press conference with the Lakers back in those days and Magic and those guys would come in, I was scared to ask a dumb question because I didn't want to get yelled and screamed at by Pat Riley.
So he was I was on you guys, huh?
Right. I was very careful choosing my words properly. I certainly wasn't going to ask anything. You know, TMZ related, because there was no such thing as TMZ.
That's true.
Number three.
The Astros are going through a pretty bad time in regards to PR, and now they're...
That is the most understated thing in the history of statements.
If I could have been a newsman, the Astros are going through a pretty bad time in regards to PR, and now they are being banned from what, say, is the spirit of baseball, and that's Little League. This actually started in Long Beach. I can't hold it up through the whole thing.
You're doing a good job.
Okay, here we go.
Pretty good. Don't keep going. Just go ahead.
This actually started in Long Beach a few weeks ago when Steve Klaus, the Long Beach Little League president, said his league informally considered dropping the name during the offseason. But more serious conversations have led to the league changing its bylaws and creating a permanent ban. Bob Bertone is the head of Pennsylvania Little League District with 23 teams, and they decided to ban the name Astros from their 10 to 12-year-old Little League teams. Here he is talking about it.
In today's society, you know, we lack consequences for actions. And in my opinion, this is a justified consequence. I don't think we'll be the last district to do this.
There he is. So he doesn't think he's going to be last. He probably won't be the last. Let's just be honest here. And you know what they did in that specific Pennsylvania Little League district? They replaced the Astros with the Nationals. So now the Astros kids will now be known as the Nationals kids. Chris, do you think this is an overreaction?
No.
Interesting.
And I'm speaking quietly and quickly because I know Tony completely disagrees with me. He thinks this is a ludicrous story. It is a little crazy.
No, I'm not going to disagree
with you. But I'm going to be honest with you. I wouldn't really want to play on the Astros right now if I was a 10-year-old kid. There's a lot of crap that you got to take as a little kid. And, I mean,
You play for the Astros.
That doesn't sound like much at this moment, but when you're 10 years old, that stuff adds up. You get tired of hearing it.
No doubt.
And these 10-year-old kids didn't do anything wrong. So why put them in the situation where they might have to wear Astros on their chest? I think it is a consequence of the Houston Astros situation, and I actually kind of like this story.
In Little League, I was an Astro, and I'm embarrassed for myself.
I don't think you have to be at this point, but if you were 10 years old, look, I played, I think my Little League team was the Indians. And the Indians were really, really not very good at the big league level at those days.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, you know, you took a little heat for the fact that you were played on such a lousy team.
That's true.
Well, you're going to take a lot of heat if you play for the Astros.
Tony, do you think this is an overreaction?
No, I don't think it's an overreaction. I don't think it's a story that needs to be written
yeah,
about,
yeah, it's not
though.
A big deal.
Really?
No.
Of course we're going to write about this. This is what people do.
My point is, I played at Poway National, Poway American. We didn't even have an Astros team. So my point is that there are thousands of little leagues across the United States that never had an Astros team. I get it. It's the story because the Astros have been in this scandal. But
seems a bit of a grandstand move.
It does. I don't think it's an overreaction, though. I think this is probably what all little leagues are going to do. It just doesn't necessarily need to be a story.
Never mind. I'm going to hold my thought. Self-edit. Fans of Kobe Bryant are getting a head start for the public memorial service for Kobe and Gianna Bryant. That's on Monday. How are they getting a head start, you ask? Well, they are going to a cemetery and trying to locate his gravesite, but they have located one of the wrong person. According to USA Today, the person who was buried at the plot that fans keep visiting was laid to rest there in November of 2019. The crowds flocked there to the site last week when the Daily Mail shared photos and identified the gravesite in question as the final resting spot of Kobe and Gianna Bryant. There are no engravings at the site, and Pacific View Memorial Park said the purple and gold flowers around the plot is a coincidence. Pacific View Memorial Park also has increased security as a result of the situation. One of the representatives said, quote, just a lot of people coming watering the cemetery looking to see if they can locate the burial site. They're just having to monitor things that are going on there, end quote. Tony, have fans gone too far in this case?
Yes. Let his family have their time to mourn first. Like, there's be plenty of time. I'm sure it'll be released. You can go see it. But let their family. Everybody should be entitled to grieve their significant others, their loved ones first, right? I mean, I'm just saying, family should have a priority here in this. And I get it. I'm one of the biggest Kobe Bryant fans in my mind ever. But I would never do anything like this until after his family has had a chance to do it. I just think that's silly.
Chris?
You know, as a entire society, we tend to mess up good things just by having to be involved in spots and situations that we really don't have to necessarily be involved in. And in this case, I mean, all the extra security now has to come into play. People's burial plots are being tramped on and flowers are probably being crushed just so everybody can say that they got a chance to see.
Selfie culture.
Oh, my God. Don't get me started.
Yeah, you know how many people wanted to go there just so they can get the selfie in front of his grave?
Right, there you go. So, you know, this is not totally new, but I agree with you, Scraby. I think and I agree with Tony. Just let the people in the immediate family get through their grieving process.
You don't even have
you
to...
don't need to be there.
Yeah, just
that's, you that'll... just don't need to be there to take a selfie of you standing there.
I'm going to say, I'm
we
not
as
going
a society are going to do it.
I'm not going to go seek it out. I'm not going to go try and find his grave or anything like that. But if I was driving by, I had a few minutes to kill.
Like, oh, and it was
okay. It was okay for me to do this. I'm not trouncing graves or anything. I'm being respectful. I'll go get a selfie at Kobe's
grave.
Yeah,
but too many people aren't being respectful. That's just correct. The nature of that beast.
Number one.
John. Number two.
Number two.
I'm always thinking I'm wrong first, and so I'm trying to make sure I'm not reading the same one. John Beilein's tenure as an NBA coach is over, and the floodgates are open for stories about his not-so-long strange trip to the pros. On an episode of an ESPN podcast called The Hoop Collective with Brian Windhorst, Jackie McMillan said that Beilein wanted to schedule a practice on Christmas Day, and the Cavs players, unsurprisingly, were not fond of that idea. He said on the podcast, "This is a coach that was thinking about practicing on Christmas Day. No, really. That's a lack of understanding of how the NBA works. It just is. The length of the season, the importance of getting your players' head right in the right space. They weren't playing on Christmas Day, and he was considering practicing on Christmas Day. And, of course, that didn't happen because somebody very quickly squashed that," end quote. So, Chris, who is to blame here? John Beilein or the players? I see you're laughing. I immediately thought they're professional basketball players. They practice when they need to practice.
They probably didn't have to practice on Christmas Day, but I will say this. The Cleveland Cavaliers had any problem with any of this. Maybe they should have been a little better than 14-40. I'm going to go a little old school here. I can see John Beilein's point. He's trying everything he can. It's his first job as an NBA coach to get these guys to toe the line and play some better basketball. I mean, you look at Cleveland's season. It's been an absolute nightmare from start to finish. And his career record is going to read 14-40 because he's never going to get another chance to coach in the NBA. But that is something that in a lot of ways is his fault because, Tony, this is the era that we now live in, and you have to be respectful of the way the player – the coaches, I think, care more – as much as they've ever cared about winning and success. I don't know that the players do, and I think the good coaches are the ones that realize that and can work within that realm.
I think that's hogwash. I really do. Guy like Phil Jackson coached old school guys in a way that you could coach, and he did it in a way that he could still coach right now. I do agree. Look, the player has changed. There is just no getting around that. Priorities may be a little bit different, but I don't think that means that they don't care about winning. I think that, in my opinion, John Beilein was overmatched from the. I didn't like the hire from the very beginning. It didn't make a lot of sense to me to bring a college guy in and expect him to be able to at least to my knowledge didn't have any NBA experience. And expect him to be able to make that shift on a team like this. This team wasn't going to be good no matter who was the coach, right? I mean, listen, to me, this sounds like a far worse situation than what your squad in Chicago had last year.
Oh, yeah. They
those guys, these are the, that's a much younger team. But what did they do? They seem to have come around, regardless of how bad they're playing right now. They seem to have come around. We don't hear any reports coming out of Chicago anymore. So, to me, that's more of an indictment on John Beilein not being able to make the adjustment that was needed, necessary to be made.
Yeah. There's Bulls were mutinying last year.
They were mutiny last year, but they kept the same guy. And listen, there you can see some improvement there. They have far more vets on the Cleveland Cavaliers squad. You got Love. You got Thompson. You got some guys in there who've been in the league for a long time. So trying to hold a practice on Christmas was not the move. It's not the move.
Yeah, it's not popular. I wouldn't say that.
Not popular. No, I'm willing to bet that no team practiced on Christmas
Day. You're probably right.
That's it for the Big Five today on 97.3 The Fan.
Thomas.
Number one.
I was going to say, I thought we had one more.
I don't know why I got so mad for a second.
Well, we don't have any time.
To shut me up. It's okay. Luis Severino is being shut down by the Yankees. Aaron Boone came out and said that he is experiencing forearm soreness that dates all the way back to his final ALCS appearance in 2019. He's going to be checked out later, but they're going to shut him down for now. They said If you'll be ready for opening day, Boone said, we'll see. So, Tony, on a scale of 1 to 10, how worried are you if you're the Yankees?
A 9.
Ooh.
Didn't he have elbow issues last
year,
too?
Didn't play much
last
year.
Make it a 10.
Make it a 10.
I'm super worried, especially considering the Yankees, this is their weak spot on their team, is the pitching rotation.
Chris?
10.
Thank you.
Severino's a big-time pitcher, man. The Yankees need everything they can get to beat cheating teams like the Astros and win the American League. Severino's a good pitcher when he's healthy, and he hasn't been healthy for 2 years. And the fact that this comes up now is not good for the Yankees.
Five. Oh, go ahead. Finish it. Go ahead.
I'm done.
That's it.
No, close out, right?
Well, we already played it. All so.
Right. Do you want Kings fan?
Yes. We played the finish of the Big Five before we got to number
yes.
one.
Yes.
Tony Cohen. Got to call us back 10 minutes, man. Tony Cohen, 833-288-0973. To be entered into our grand prize, one of two Las Vegas trips to see Shania Twain at Planet Hollywood Resort and Casino. All right. When we return, top of the show, or excuse me, reset of the show, 5 o'clock hour, around the corner. Gwen and Chris, 97.3.
Bam. T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.